From the aisles to the review station, Undercover Capes brings you all things action figure related. Join host Bob O'Mac as he shares his insights and thoughts on the plastic revolution.
Well, hello, one and all. It is Bob O'Mac, the man from Colorado that nobody knows about, the man who is your host for Crisis in the Toyverse. And today on Into the Toyverse, trying to say that seductively, trying to act cool. But when you're, quick sidebar, when you're saying something like I just said, and you look around in your room and you're surrounded by toys and there's nobody else around and you're just talking into a microphone, it's pretty freaking ridiculous. I'm not going to lie. But with that being said, today I have a very fun show for you all. And I don't know why I pregnant paused that. But regardless of the pauses and the long deep breaths and all that mumbo jumbo, I am going to be talking to you guys today about a toy company called Pandemoni. And they're putting out some great new action figures that are both great for the adult collector and the kid and everything in between. Their Altered Nation line of mutant genetic freaks in action figure form is an original IP. There's nothing else on it on the market right now that's not nostalgia based. And they're actually really cool. They're sculpted great. They look great. They have action features. Crazy, right? Action figures having action features. It's mind-boggling. Anyways, I'm talking to the founder today about that line. He's going to drop some crazy cool stories on you. He's going to let you know about what's going on with the line, what to expect, and how you can get in contact with him. So, without further ado, let's rock and roll and get this show on the road. So, formally introduce yourself to everyone listening. Who are we? Who do we have the distinct pleasure of speaking with today?
Hi, I'm Ryan Magnin with Pandemoni Toy Brands. I'm the president and founder of the company. And yeah, that's me.
That's awesome. Now, I went on your guys' YouTube channel. It looks like, is it safe to say 2017 about is when you guys kind of started kicking things off, getting everything ready with the company?
Yeah, we did start kicking off in 2017. And we spent the first 6 months just kind of planning out the brand of Pandemoni itself. Just what do we want to do as a company? How are we going to be different from the other toy companies? And so that was that sort of planning. And in addition to that, the next step was kind of talking to kids and seeing what sort of toys they want, see what kind of stories they want us to tell and what kind of features and things like that. And so that was the reason why we're kind of just now in Q4, 2019.
Yeah, 2019.
Just getting out, getting the product up. Yeah. It went by fast. yeah,
well,
we launched around the end of, yeah.
To bring everything back to the beginning, I guess, how did this whole process begin? What was the germ of everything that led to where we're getting ready to hit launch point now?
We started with a lot of just kind of seeds of concepts, like what do you think of this kind of story? And if it had a toy that went with this. So it was just maybe like one or two sentences. We showed that to a lot of kids, got a lot of their feedback, and then we would take their feedback and kind of work with it and then show them, you know, fewer concepts, but more, what do you want to say, kind of fleshed out where we would get more feedback from them. And that process, we just kind of developed it more and more as we got feedback, so we weren't wasting time like developing ideas that weren't going to ever see the light of day. And then after that, we contracted with a lot of Concept artists and had them work with some art, got feedback on that, and we contracted with some great sculptors and factories to just bring it out. And all the while we were doing that technical stuff of the development, we had a lot of downtime, so we were able to come up with like little interesting things about the story, secret riddles and things like that.
That's very cool. One of the things that I love about what you guys are doing, and it's something that you guys are branding yourselves with too, like based on the information I've seen and read, is that you're actually making an original IP that has the spirit of the toys like I grew up with. Like I'm an 80s, I was born in 85. So I was at that height of all the crazy stuff that transitioned from the 80s to 90s. But I guess what I'm saying is it's an original IP that has an interesting story. And the toys just are, the figures just look really cool. Like when you look at it, oh, you're welcome. When you look at it, I mean, how scary is this and intimidating? Because it's been a long time since we've seen original IPs done. Everything's that nostalgia string. There's nothing wrong with that nostalgia string. I just think this is so cool because it's so different.
Yeah, I mean, it's not so scary to me because it's just, I feel that it's scarier to just do it to just rehash old ideas, you know? So, no, it hasn't been scary. I know I know it's risky, but I feel like it's worth the risk. And that I've always just kind of been a belligerent kind of guy when it comes to like going against trends and things like that. So it kind of came natural to me. So yeah. And then, yeah, we did get a lot of that feedback that, you need one from people in the industry, not from kids. Kids would say the exact opposite of this, but the people in the industry would tell us that, you know, you can't do this without a license. You need content first. And we knew we needed content and stuff, but we also knew that in the 80s, like the time you're talking about, there were a ton of brands that were just cool toys. They just looked cool and they didn't necessarily have a cartoon always. Things like Battle Beast was one that comes to mind. And of course, I know Masters of the Universe had a cartoon eventually, but technically it did start with just a toy. So, and they were just neat toys. So yeah, I felt like because of that, we could be confident that it would work. I know markets change and things like that, but right now everything we're hearing is just like, it's just everything in the movies is a sequel or a reboot or a reboot of a reboot. It just like seems like it's just been going on for too long and that the market's ready for something different.
The character palette, if you will, of the characters in the Altered Nation line offer quite a bit of variety. I mean, each one of these creatures have a distinctive, not only action feature based on the videos I saw that you guys put up on your YouTube channel, but they all have different colors. They're vibrant. Each one of them stands out.
Thank you. Thanks again. I my background's a little bit. I did a lot of character design for a while, and it was just important to me that their heights were varied, the colors are varied, and then the features that you're talking about. We were always trying to get it specific to that animal. So the frog jumps, the monkey has a tail, and the porcupine shoots quills. We were kind of trying, some of the feedback we got from kids was that it was kind of neat that we were constraining it to where these were real animal powers that you can find in nature and not, you know, psychic powers or, you know, guy that can control flames or something like that, you know, which nothing wrong with that. Just we're doing something different, you know?
Right, absolutely.
It made it seem more grounded. Yeah.
No, I think that's very cool. I also, I love the fact that the figures themselves have articulation, but at the same time, they still have that action feature. Like the component in an action figure. I mean, I think a lot of times people kind of lose sight of between what's a collectible figure versus an action figure. And I think you guys have really
balanced out the two. I mean, when you look at the promo pictures and stuff, they stand out. They can sit on a shelf for a collector, but at the same time, you don't have to worry about handing it off to your kid and be like, oh, don't break that, you know, because it's going to be fun to mess around with. They look sturdy. They look nice is basically what I'm getting at.
Yeah, well, they are. I say that not just as a biased person convincing your audience to buy toys, but yeah, that was folks shooting the commercial are just like, wow, this feels like they were holding Sabotage and just, this feels like really like sturdy and just like I want to play with it. But yeah, it was important to us that we knew we wanted the action features and that there's been all these sort of advancements since action features were done, which was, you know, like you're talking about the 80s and early 90s, that digital techniques have made sculpting much more efficient and articulation is much more important to buyers today. And there was no reason why we couldn't do both, keep the articulation in and still run with the gimmick of the brand.
Right. I think that's a nice thing. It's that balance between the two that really works well. With the monkey, like with the action feature, with the glove on the mallet, you see that it's a button, mm-hmm. but it's not an obnoxious button there.
That was the other thing. We liked anywhere we could hide a articulation point or a switch or something. We were aware of that and tried to address it, you know?
What I was going to say, when you were working on the concept with the kids, were the kids excited to see what these were going to be like when you're taking all that feedback? How does that process work?
Yeah, we on the last test we did that actually had the sculptures and fully painted and all that, we hid it under a blanket and I got it on camera of me like taking the blanket off and they're just like, whoa. So yeah, it was really cool. It's nice to get that kind of feedback, you know, that look, we do a lot of this stuff for kids and to just kind of give kids what we were given, not just, you know, our granddad's, you know, Captain America number 50 or whatever. Yeah, you know, it's like something new, something just for their generation, and they've never seen it before. So it was very rewarding to get that kind of reaction.
That's cool to hear. Now, as you're going through this process and mapping out everything, was there at any point where you guys were looking at the product that was shaping and you were like, we really have something here? Like, do you recall any moment like that?
Yeah, actually, it's always been kind of like, I have confidence in this idea, but we'll see what the market says. It wasn't until the other last Friday when we were shooting the commercial, not just seeing the kids, but just how cool they looked in the commercial format. Like for whatever reason, seeing them on a very nice, clear video, like well-produced video, just made it so much more real. And we're like, okay, yeah, we got something here. This could be big, you know?
Nice. That in itself has to be just as rewarding as any other part of the process.
Yeah, definitely.
Creatively, did you come up with the names yourselves or was that conducted through research or like how did each character take shape?
Yeah, I think, and the names have almost, I think there's only been two that we changed. Mm-hmm. And that was because just based on, we did a lot of social media. We did a lot of social media while we were developing the actual sculpts and things. So we were able to get, what else is neat now versus the 80s is that you can get live feedback from a community of people that really are into this stuff. So we got feedback on the colors. We changed Quilroy and Albert's name. Originally they were Eddie Thickskin and Little Bighorn. And it just didn't fly with some of the audience, you know, and people were making innuendos about Eddie Thickskin. The audience can use your imagination there. So, okay. But yeah, I think I I just I think when we were doing market testing, we just made up random names. Ah, this guy looks like he's got thick skin. Let's be Eddie Thick Skin. And like the Manta Ray, how about El Rey? He'll be the leader, you know? So yeah, that's kind of where it came from. And if there was anything that was like a red flag along the way, it was easy to adapt.
Very cool. When you guys were coming up with the quote unquote gimmick feature for each one, was there one, which ones were kind of the harder ones to kind of finalize and get right to your liking and to the audience that you're, you know, testing with and stuff? And which one, were there any left on the table in this first wave that were just like, man, if we could have gotten this in, or did all the gimmicks just come out exactly the way you wanted them to?
Oh, no. Yeah, there's a lot of good stories with the gimmicks, but you know, we had a price point in mind of ideally 20. We wanted to be under $20. It ended up being a little more, but I think we did pretty good. But yeah, because of that, we had to cut some features out, and we kind of threw everything in the kitchen sink. Okay, we'll just see how much we can put in and then see what the factory quotes us, and we'll pull it back out if not. That ended up being a bad idea. You should always, if you're going to make toys, plan out kind of about how much a thing's going to cost before you do it. For any of you, your audience members that are interested in developing toys, we not only had stuff left on the table with these toys, we also have another wave of toys ready to go on the back burner that were like based on the testing, they were eliminated this time, but we're gonna mix them in with another set of characters and see, maybe they'll come out in wave two. The hardest one, yeah. As far as the hardest ones that were difficult, Dart's backflip. We had a different thing in mind where he was just gonna do a jump on all fours, but we couldn't engineer it right. And the guy that made that had a backup idea, and that's what ended up being, and it worked out so much better, especially with the articulation, so he can still move his hands and legs around with this current thing. And then the other thing was, we weren't ever quite able to get Sham has a color change feature, and because of the nature of color change paint, it's a little inconsistent across one versus another. So maybe it's a feature, not a bug, but because you know everybody's going to get a totally unique sham because of that.
You hear that, folks? I'm running variants without it being a running variant.
Yeah. One of a kind. One of one.
Very cool. How were the electronics on Sabotage? I always hear horror stories about the electronics and toys sometimes don't go hand in hand. That can be a headache.
No, I guess maybe we got lucky. That was one of the easier ones. We showed them a circuit board and they did it. But maybe it was because of our team just made it easy on me. I don't engineer electronics. So one of our team members gave us a board and said, "Here, just give this to the factory." And the factory took it and they knew what to do.
Oh, awesome! Well, that's good to hear. Because I just, you know, sometimes I've heard through different creators, you know, electronics always are hard, especially when things are articulated and stuff. So I'm happy everything went good with you.
Yeah, you know, I mean, it electronics make things more expensive. Actually going to make El Rey was going to be waterproof and light up, but that would have put the figure way higher than we wanted. So anyway, if your fans are into waterproofing stuff, that was the intention. So maybe you guys can upload videos of you figuring out the engineering.
Possibly. We'll see what happens. And there's so many cool characters, you guys. I just love the aesthetic of each and every one of these. Each one of them pop, like Palmer, Let's Go, El Rey. I haven't even had a figure in my hand yet, and I'm like already like, this one's cool, this one's cool. Like, I think that's awesome.
Oh, thank you.
I don't know. Sabotage looks really cool to me. Al Rey looks really good. Roy looks cool. See, I'm just going to name all of them because I think they all look cool. And I'm not just saying that. Like, I don't know. I'll be honest with you. Like, this whole thing just excites me because it's so different. Like, I love in the press release how it talks about, like, you know, it's one part this, and another part this. But, you know, the fact that you guys had kids and stuff in mind with it, I don't know. I really dig it. I really do.
That's great to hear. You know, I mean, we did make them for kids, and it's neat that there's so many adults that like it, too, that are kind of being our champions for us and just like, hey, this reminds me of what the great stuff I had growing up. And, you know, it's very rewarding. So I really appreciate that.
Well, you're very welcome. Like, I mean, I don't know, like, there's figures in this line that I can mix in with other stuff I collect, and I'm just like, oh, this would be cool. Like, you know, I could have this guy be this, and, you know, like, I'm still a kid at
yeah,
heart.
Yeah, they're all one. Yeah. They're all 1/12 scale, so they can fight John Cena or whatever you got on your shelf.
Of all the characters that you guys came up with, is there one that you have a personal, like, you gravitate to, or the one that's a favorite or anything of that nature?
Yeah, it's like you said, I can't point out a favorite anymore, but initially it was always like Quilroy. I loved him. He was like big, he was a big dude, and he had so many different animals like parts making up his powers. So originally, yeah, it was Quilroy, and then but yeah, as we worked on it for so long, I fell in love with every character that we got. So
I know that's like, I know, I don't know, because I didn't work on this project. You did. But when I look at them, it's just like, oh, that one looks cool. But so does that one. And then so does that one. Yeah. Like, I think that's a really nice thing. Now,
so collect all six, everyone.
Yes, all six. Buy them. I was going to say, the distribution of these, are these going to be retail, or are these going to be just specialty shots online? How are we going to get these into people's hands?
Yeah. So I touched on the social media thing. What we did for what we're still doing right now, until I think the end of October, is anybody who pre-orders with us gets an exclusive. And so we have that at store.pandemoni.toys. So those are going to be limited edition. They come with variants on the accessories. Mm-hmm. And once they sell out or we hit our launch date, they're gone. Or maybe if we have any left over, you know, they'll be found at some conventions or something. I don't know. Maybe we'll do a contest. Diamond Select is listing us in our catalog right now. So if anybody, you know, has a favorite comic book shop or even, you know, Barnes and Noble, any of those stores, they all work with Diamond as well. So we're listed in the previews catalog there. And yeah, that's how we're going to get the word out. But we'll always have the store.pandemoni.toys e-commerce site, so people can buy direct from us as well.
I would assume that the goal eventually, hopefully down the road, is to find these on a shelf. But I also understand, and I've heard horror stories, that getting shelf space and brick and mortars is a whole different daunting task in itself.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I think for us, we've always had more luck with, you know, the action figure community. And that's really who's been pushing us more than the like gatekeepers, I'd almost call them, that are buyers for those retail stores. Nevertheless, yeah, we did do things like make very appealing packaging and things like that to really entice retail buyers to say, hey, this is going to jump off your shelf. You know, you're going to spot it right away. It's bright yellow and chartreuse color schemes. And and we also are offering, you know, little perks and things, like point of sale comic books that are just totally free for retailers. And what else? You know, it's going to be a process, but you know, that's part of the gig.
No, absolutely. Now, do you guys plan on being at a toy fair this coming year? I know you were walking
Yeah,
around
absolutely.
last year. But I don't, I did you guys have a booth last year?
We did not. We were there just to meet with sales reps. So this
Oh, okay.
next year, 2020, yeah, 2020, we're gonna actually have a presence there for the first time.
I'm really excited to hear that because I love Toy Fair. Toy Fair is like my favorite event. Last year was my first year, and I was like, I don't care about any other convention anymore. I love Toy Fair.
Toy Fair is awesome. Yeah, it's so big though. It's hard to make you feel like you're gonna miss something. Well, I
It
love
is
that
big, but at
you
the same
can.
time, it's not packed.
That's
I
true.
mean,
That's true.
it's busy, but it's not like I don't know. It's busy but calm, if that makes any sense.
No, absolutely. Yeah, I just got back from San Diego Comic Con, and that was big and crowded. And yeah, but it's like big, so you'll never get to see everything because you're running into you're in like a traffic jam the whole way. But yeah, Toy Fair, it's pretty, the aisles are pretty clear. And I what else I love about it is that there's all sorts of different aspects of the toy industry. There's a section just for, you know, factories that you can go check out their work and stuff, and just stuff you don't see over here very much. That's the other thing. People like different toy companies from all over the world, so you're seeing stuff from you know, Eastern Europe and different parts of Asia and all kinds of things.
Yeah, no, Toy Fair is wild, but a good kind of way. So you guys are gonna be you will have a booth at New York Comic Con this year, correct? Or are you guys part of the Diamonds booth?
Yeah, we'll be at the Diamond booth, and you know, exclusive, I don't know, it's maybe not exclusive news, but we're going to be with another partnering company that I can't announce yet.
Okay.
But it's a major comic publisher, and they're going to be doing an announcement, and we're probably going to be hanging around their booth as well.
Oh, awesome. So for folks who are gonna be at the convention this weekend, if you're listening to this before the weekend, these fine folks have some big stuff in store. If you had to tell somebody to invest and buy this line that didn't have kids, what would you say? And then I'll give you that same question with kids afterwards.
If they didn't have kids, there's nothing else like it, and they look amazing, and they're a great value. And I think they're going to be, you know what? These are going to be collectors someday. You can guarantee that.
Well, see, there you go, folks. Now, if I'm
Okay,
a
but
parent,
guarantee does not include money. Sorry.
I'm sorry, hey, collectibles in the eye of the beholder.
Right.
So if you had a kid, and if I was a parent, what would you tell my kid? Why this line's cool? And he's like, or like, or he or she's like, oh, this is awesome. Ah!
I would say that you know, kids today deserve their own IP, not some IP. They deserve their own action figure brand, not our hand-me-downs. We all had great stuff growing up as kids. We had Thundercats, we had Transformers, we had Ninja Turtles, we had He-Man. All of these things were new in the 80s, and now they're just rehashing them over and over to make a quick buck. We're actually putting in the legwork to bring somebody to bring some new characters to the table, and you know, create some future nostalgia. So 30 years from now, when I'm retired, somebody else will be rebooting this. Unfortunately, no, that's okay. Somebody else, some Hollywood mogul will say, "Ah, let's make a reboot of Alternation for the
We'll
tenth
see
time."
them, and then you'll get a nice little condo down in Jamaica or somewhere.
Yeah, there we go. So
We'll
yeah,
see.
that's why you should by alternation is so I can have a condo,
in Jamaica.
30 years.
No, folks, you no, can I support him that way, but you can also support something that's really amazing.
Yeah, I mean, I think it really is a good value for if you compare it to anything else out there. And we put a lot of it's not one of these, you know, generic toys with it's just a generic soldier guy. It's got a story behind it. It's got mythology behind it. We hope when the line's successful, we get to unveil more of that story through more cartoons and unlock more of the mystery of these hybrid heroes, hybrid animal humans.
Absolutely. One final thing before I let you go. Packaging. Now, is the package going to be collector friendly, or is it going to be like, are you going to be able to store it back in if you wanted to keep it on the shelf, or are we going to just rip this stuff open and forget about the packaging?
So the only I guess hiccups to collectors is that there's some stickers to keep it sealed, but otherwise, yeah, open it up. The blister is not glued to anything. You can just put it right back in when you're done.
Very cool. That's always good to hear. Some people like that. Me, I don't like to say packaging unless I absolutely have to, like if it's something that's really, really cool. So like for the most part though, I'm like, we can recycle this.
Yeah. It's got a flip top. Yeah. It closes right back up.
That's good. I'm very happy to hear that, because I know there's a lot of collectors and people who just love toys who like to keep their packaging. So very cool.
I'm one of those people. All of my toys all of my toys are still MIP. So yeah. I mean, actually some of them aren't mint. Some of them I left in the sun and they get that weird yellow thing.
Oh yeah. That's that's never any fun. And then you got to hunt a new account because you keep looking at it and you're like, but then you look at the price of it and you're like,
Yeah. Should probably just open those ones up finally, huh?
Why not? Have some fun.
Yeah. I'm going to buy a yellow.
Release it from its plastic prison.
Yeah. I have such a hard time because there's been so many toys I've had that are like, oh man, if I never opened that thing, I would have an extra $200 or something.
I know it's a tough balance, but toys are meant to be played with, and that's why this line will give you that option.
Yep.
Well, where can they find you guys on social media? How can they connect with you guys and see even more amazing stuff that you guys are doing?
Yeah, most of our things are at Pandemoni Toys, whether it's Twitter or Instagram, or I think Facebook, it's, you know, facebook.com/Pandemoni Toys. And then if I have that incorrect, our website is definitely www.pandemoni.toys, not .com. We're part of the future. We've got .toys. That's where things are going.
Awesome. That is exciting to hear. I want to thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to chat with me about this. I'm excited for the future. I definitely wish you guys all the best. So folks, check out this line, visit the website, follow these people on social media. They have something really cool coming out, and I hope you join me along the ride as we continue to see it unfold. Well, folks, that's the interview. I hope you guys enjoyed. I had a lot of fun talking with them. As you can see, I'm gushing over these things because I do think they're really cool. I will have links in the description of this podcast episode on where you can find these guys all over social media. But make sure you go check out pandemonitoys.toys to see all the amazing products that they're doing and all the fun stuff. I will be back again soon. I'm not sure how soon, but sometime soon. And we'll talk more about all the crazy and wacky things going on in the Toyverse. Guys, thank you so much for stopping by and checking in and listening. And share your feedback. Let me know what you guys think, because I do appreciate it. And I do appreciate you guys taking the time to listen. So I'm out of here. Everyone, be well, be good.
be fantastic, do whatever it takes to have a fantastic day. And until next time, great googly moogly.